Tonight, we are going to do this standing up. Holy shit, getting a little crazy here from number three. I actually did get a microphone. I'm probably trying to talk a little bit louder than I need to because I'm not certain that the recording volume is going to be where I need it to be. But anyway, that's, you know what? I sit all fucking day, and it's not fun, so I'm trying to do this to have a little bit of fun. So maybe standing is what I need. But I'm also at my little desk where I clean records, so it kind of gives me something somewhere to be and fidget a little bit because I just don't feel like being in a chair now. Anyway, thanks for asking. We're going to talk tonight a little bit about, well, we're going to talk a lot about Madball. We're going to talk about the album Set It Off in particular. not that I have any problems with any of their subsequent albums. I enjoy most of their catalog. I celebrate their entire catalog. I own most of their catalog. I don't have all their stuff on vinyl, and I'll be truthful. I don't listen to hardcore as much as I used to, but it is what got me to listening to everything that I listen to. So I still go back to this album often. It is one of the handful of records that I do have in a frame on my wall, at least the cover I have. Keep the record well protected and spin it every once in a while. My wife was amazing and got me a copy of it, for my 40th birthday. It was really one of the coolest gifts I think I had ever received because it was never something that I had really expressly like asked for or anything. I think I was set in, standing, almost fell down. it was nothing that I had asked for specifically. I think I had just said in passing that I really, really am having trouble finding it. And I didn't feel like ordering it from overseas. I don't mind ordering new records from overseas, but you get into used records and, either A, number one, it was expensive. So I worry about, I don't mind buying a new record for 25 or 30 bucks and hoping for the best. And honestly, I haven't had an international package lost, but I worry about any package that's $100 or more. And I think at the time, 4 years ago when she got it for me, that's about where it was going. So I just, it's one of those records that you hope you find when you're out shopping. You probably won't, but God, if you ever do, that's a great day. I had actually just done a little video about finding Tesseract Altered State in the Wild, which was very exciting, but would have been nothing like finding this Madball. I mean, there's a couple other records that I think if I ever found them in person, I would just be to the moon about. But, getting this one as a gift was one of the biggest shocks. So. Obviously I gave that thing the best cleaning I could at the time. I do a much better job now, but I've spun that record, consistently since I've had it. So, probably once a month, if not more. And then I still have some of their tracks in my playlist, when I go jogging, which is, looking at myself on video. I think I need to pick up the pace or stick to the audio format like this. But anyway, the introduction that I got to Madball is I was just out of high school and, I'd kind of reconnected with an old friend who was, my next door neighbor. We kind of just, I wouldn't even say we had a falling out. We just kind of grew apart. We never really addressed it. We just became friends again later on. And shit like that happened again between us. And here we are back again, circled back. Shit happens. Life happens. Never any ill intent. It's just fucking the way things go. And you wish it wasn't like that, but hey, it is what it is. And you hope you reconnect with people that do mean something to you. And sometimes you realize there are people that don't mean something to you and you're actually okay with letting them go. That's just kind of the way shit is. But anyway, I had reconnected with him and he had a small group of friends that, kind of welcomed me into the group. I was kind of in a weird place. I graduated a year ahead of them. But I was in, I was just working fucking odd jobs through a temp agency, which, ended up landing me at a decent place, and subsequently worked my way into a career. But that was just, that was just by hard work, I guess. And obviously a little fucking luck, cause I was just placed there through a temp agency. But anyway, so I was just kind of in a weird place. I struggled in high school. I didn't have a group that I would have called myself friends with. I had people that I kind of hung around with, and I just didn't go out a lot. I was like, there was always stuff going on, but I was always worried about how to invite myself to the thing without sounding like I was inviting myself to the thing. Because I know they probably would have welcomed me in retrospect. I think I just seemed like the kid that never wanted to do anything, but it was just the opposite. So I think if any of us just opened their mouth, I would have had a better time in high school. But that was really more on me. All I had to do was just say, hey, what are you guys doing? And then meet up. Or, you know, you go to the high school games. I just didn't get there. I didn't actually get there, I would say, until probably in my early 20s. But, you know, this group of friends really helped. And, you know, one of the first things that they did was, you know, they brought up, you know, this fucking music. And my fucking smartwatch just told me to move. I hit my goal at 5 o'clock. Jesus Christ, leave me alone. Can you just say, I don't know, I would recommend you move. It's 9:35. All right, it's like, are you taking a break? Be a little bit nicer about it. But anyway, they come over and they got it was fucking in sequence. It was Madball Set It Off, and Downset's self-titled, and it was just like I had never heard anything like, you know, I really liked the Downset because I was just kind of coming out of an awkward hip hop phase, and it just, you know, I had kind of gravitated to that for a couple of years, but I also kind of just I just grew tired of it, and I was kind of going back to alternative rock and shit like that, so. I was getting back into heavier stuff, but I didn't know stuff like this existed. You know, not trying to be, oh, I'm so old, but there was really no internet to speak of at the time, or at least it was in its infant days where, you know, you had to fucking, or infancy days, where you had to, you know, it fucking took like 10 minutes if you wanted to download a picture. You know, you used sometimes, or if God forbid you wanted to download a song, you'd leave that shit on overnight with a handful of songs in queue. And, you know, and hope that it didn't time out or some shit like that. And you woke up with nothing and had to try again the next night. So, you know, I just didn't know. I wasn't exposed to it. And I never really got to thinking of asking them how they heard about it, which would probably be great. One of these days, I would love to have one of them just sit down and bullshit with me because we fucking do it by the fire pit anyway and have a blast. And people that aren't part of the group that are, you know, kind of sitting with us always seem to enjoy our antics. But, you know, so I never really thought to ask them how they got turned on to it, which is a really good question. But anyway, when I heard Madball, I was like, okay, all right, this is something. It was just so fucking, it was unlike anything I had heard. I mean, it was angry. It still had like some of the fucking hip hop posturing in it, obviously. It was, you know, it's tough guy hardcore, but it was so fucking fast. Everything about it hit me right. You know, I was 18. You know, I was 18, filled with piss and vinegar. I wasn't a bad kid. I wasn't a troublemaker or anything. And, you know, I wasn't in trouble, and I wasn't poor. I didn't have much, but, you know, I had enough. I had a car, I had a job, you know, I had a room with my parents at home. So, you know, I had some place to go, but I did have no, you know, I was not going anywhere either, in spite of maybe having potential to do it, but just really having no direction. So this was kind of perfect. This is a great way to let all that fucking energy and angst out, and you're listening to this, and you're fucking pointing your finger. You don't even know that that's a thing in hardcore, because I'd never been to a fucking hardcore show. It's just, you know, instinctive. You're just hearing this, and you're, you know, don't ask me, no, and you're just pointing at nobody. You're driving and pointing. It was just so fucking raw and impressive. So, I mean, what it did was it led me into a whole fucking, the next 5, 6, 7 years of just constantly going to local shows, checking out all the local bands. There were some really good ones in Rhode Island. They had Time's Expired. I had Corinne for a little while, of course, Kilgore Smudge, and you know, they still play shows every once in a while. But then seeing all the other fucking bands, we get to see Candaria play, we got to see Vision of Disorder play, we got to see Biohazard play, we got to see Deftones play. I fucking missed Glassjaw, which still bothers me to this day because none of my fucking friends wanted to go, and I was stuck with them, probably because I had drank a little bit and I needed one of them to drive, but nobody wanted, and they opened for the fucking Deftones. Now, tell me that's not one of those things that you fucking regret. Not on the same level, and you people can laugh if you want, but I also missed Korn. When they weren't quite Korn yet. And if I'm not mistaken, they were open up for like fucking Incubus and House of Pain and maybe Biohazard. It was some weird fucking crossover card like that. But the fucking Glassjaw one irks me because I think I was going to have an opportunity to see them again. But the lead singer had Crohn's disease, if I recall, And it did constantly, you know, fucking cause the poor guy to have to, you know, obviously it cost him a lot of distress. So he was, you know, he couldn't tour consistently. So I never got the chance to see them again. And that's fucking disappointing, because that would have been one hell of a memorable show. But anyway, you know, going to see, you know, Madball, of course, I think one of the shows that is fucking legendary was at Club Babyhead. It was Madball, Downset, and Dog Eat Dog. That was a $5 show. If I'm not mistaken, it was a fucking matinee. So that was an all-day affair for us. It was a, we didn't get in any trouble. We did make a lot of mistakes and do some stupid things, but boy, were those fucking fun times. You know, there were several places to go. So there was always a show on the weekend. There were very few that I can't think of any. So we had Lupo's for bigger shows. Lupo's had the Met Cafe attached to it. I remember seeing shit like 25 to Life there, Life of Agony there, back in the day. That was a fucking blast. So, you know, we had that, and, you know, those two venues were attached. Then you had, of course, Club Babyhead. Then you also had fucking the Living Room, you know, kind of not in downtown, but, you know, just not too far away. You know, so you had places like that. So there was almost always something going on. And then there were a couple of other smaller venues too that popped up here and there that had some shows. So it was really fucking great to be involved with that scene, you know, and that was it. Like, we didn't really make a shit ton of other friends. It was just our small group that always stayed together, and occasionally someone else that trickled in and trickled out. And then, you know, we had like satellite organizations that we'd always hook up with that, you know, they kind of, we all intermingled, but they rolled with their own group. So sometimes you would end up at a show and you would just see 20, you know, 20 people that you knew, and had only gone with three or four. And, you know, Providence wasn't exactly the biggest scene, but, you know, when bands like Madball played, I mean, I'm a small fucking guy. I go into that place and it is packed with just fucking some New York hardcore looking dudes, just like, all right, well, I fucking made it out. I got right in there. I remember just some dude just asking me, he's like, hey, you want to go up? And I'm like, yep. And he's like, fucking one hand. He's like, here you go. Just toss me like a fucking rag doll. And, you know, I just had a blast. They were just so fucking good. And I've seen them. I had seen them a couple of times after that as well. I just remember that fucking Club Babyhead show where we were just all packed in. And yeah, that was the Downset one. So much fucking fun. So anyway, what happened after that was that, you know, I just continued listening to metal. I listened to a lot of hardcore. You know, I got into some of the other stuff, like I've mentioned Glassjaw before. You know, I didn't break too much off into what I guess that would be what screamo, if you really want to break down genres that tightly. I still consider that a fucking hardcore record to me. You can call it whatever you want, but that's just a fucking fantastic one. So, you know, I started listening to hardcore, but then I started getting into a little of the metalcore stuff. So a little bit more metallic, not quite. I did get into the later stuff where they had added clean vocals. Like, I really enjoyed some Poison the Well and Hope's Fall and even It Dies Today, Atreyu. Some of the stuff that kind of got, in my opinion, a little bit cheesy later on. I really enjoyed it for a period of time, and there's still some stuff that I go back to from that period. But my computer just rang, and it just totally threw me off. But anyway, you know, I listened to that more modern, what you'd call metalcore became. But before that, it was not quite that. It was like heavy metal, like At the Gate style type of shit. You know, riffs like Slayer. You know, blended with some hardcore shit, lots of breakdowns and mosh parts, and, you know, and a more hardcore vocal delivery. So I really listened to a lot of shit, and, like, you know, Archangel is still, I just spun those records. One of them, you know, Hope You Die by Overdose, I spun back to back, and then once the next day. I fucking thoroughly enjoy those records. So there was a lot of shit like that I just could not stop listening to. So I started going down heavier and heavier, even stuff like Dead to Fall, which I got to see them with, once again, my wonderful wife. I went to see Dark. I was dying to see Darkest Hour, not on like a big festival tour. I just wanted to go see them. And they had played, I think it was a 10-year show where they were playing Undoing Ruin in its entirety. And Dead to Fall was one of the bands that opened for them. And it was fucking fantastic. They played it all through. It was, I just thoroughly enjoyed it. My wife was there with me, which was great because I don't think anybody else would have gone to that one with me. As I've said before, I don't have a particular large amount of people in my circle. So excuse me for 1 second. Okay, we are back. A little technical difficulty. I didn't know how that was going to work out. I'm going to have to back that ass up and figure out exactly where I was because I've been hitting the teacher pretty hard. Yeah, it might not come back tonight. I think I might have to wrap this up. Nah, just kidding. I think I got it back. So, you know, I was listening to a lot of shit, like Archangel, and I continued to get heavier and heavier. And as I'm saying, we went to the Darkest Hour show. So I started to get into, you know, more metallic stuff. And then that just continued. And then so subsequently, there were new kind of new subgenres that popped up that I really enjoyed. I always dabbled in just about everything. So like I said, I like that, what metalcore became. I plucked some bands out of there that I'd still occasionally go back to. When you get into shit like, you know, Gent, there's still some bands that I pluck out of there as well. Deathcore, there's always going to be something out of there. Fuck, I still listen to my old school E-Town Concrete, you know, a little rap and hardcore crossover. So, you know, there's always going to be a few of them that, probably will fade away as the genre maybe just kind of, but there's always going to be some standout bands because they're probably really good at incorporating the particular elements. So, you know, listening to a band like Vane now, which is modern, and you would never think that, you know, you would ever consider listening to anything remotely new metal after that period had expired. There's obviously a newer generation of people that hadn't had that experience, number one, and don't feel the same way. But number two, there's also just, there were fucking good parts of it. You know what I mean? It just became oversaturated and eventually it was one of those things that had a particular style. If it was really strictly about music and not partly about image, it might have stuck around a little bit. But, you know, you're wearing big Janko jeans. Once those go out, you know, it's really tough to keep the same act up. I think to some degree, you know, it was form over function, if you will, you know, and I think that maybe killed it a little bit. But the people that live through it kind of would think, but then like you hear a band like Vane, it's like, no, that's like the fucking best parts of it. I forget, I'm not really good with tracks. I actually have the record right near me. I think it might be the closing track. It's either the closing or the second track where they go into the real clean part. I've got to spend more time with it. I've spun the album many times, but you know, even like six or eight for a record, that's considered a lot of times in a short period of time, but still not enough to get really familiar with some of the music, especially if you're not just sitting there listening to it. So there's bands like that are pulling that shit back, which is great. So, you know, I kept evolving like a lot of bands, you know, like a lot of the bands do. And then slowly I ended up really listening to a lot of like atmospheric black metal. My friend had given me the gateway drug in the form of Death Heaven, which I think everybody would consider them a gateway drug to black metal. And fuck, you know, I enjoyed them. He and I went to see them in a place in Pawtucket. It was actually, I think is it the Met Cafe? It's same name, but it moved to a different venue. But it was a pretty good place. And it really was just before they kind of exploded. So the crowd was I'd say average size. So, you know, we were able to get up close and I hadn't been to a show in a long time. So that was tremendous. But then like, you know, after I found Wolves in the Throne Room, like it was game over. They were kind of the ones that, they were the ones that became the genre for me. And that's, you know, I hold Black Cascade up there with in my top, I'd say my top five records. And it could easily sometimes be my number one, depending on my mood. But it is, I'd say in terms of actual like vinyl records of what I've spun, That's up there as one of the top ones, that and Tesseract's Altered State. You know, like they just kind of vouch for it. But then, you know, then shortly after getting into Wolves in the Throne Room, I stumble upon Ennism by searching for, you know, bands that sound like, you know, Wolves in the Throne Room, and they don't. They just happen to be in the same genre. They've got their own fucking sound out of Italy that I just enjoy their fucking entire catalog, particularly Arpitanian Lands, and I really, really like Seasons of Desolation too. Which that could have been a tough record because, you know, Arpitanian Lands is like their fucking, you know, if you know them, that's their masterpiece. That was tough to top. And then I think, I wouldn't say that they topped it, but it certainly wasn't a letdown. It was like, all right, this is a good fucking record to follow up with. You know, nice job. I haven't spent as much time with Moth's Illusion as, you know, as I'd like to, but there, I'll be honest, that they added a little bit more of the death vocals, and I kind of liked more of the blackish style vocals. The death vocals actually kind of change it up a little bit enough for me that some of those songs didn't quite get me from the initial time. So what I ended up, but there are some fucking tracks on there where they rely on the black portions of them. And I do try to spend at least a little bit of time with those digitally, but yeah, maybe I'll give that a spin and give it a critical listen one night, because it has been a while. But then, you know, so I continue down that. And, you know, right now I'm currently still in that phase, not quite nearly as much, because I've been in the doom metal phase for the last year. It's been since about last summer. I particularly remember when it happened, because I would like to say that I planned for it to happen, but I wasn't certain. You know, everybody is always like, oh, you got to listen to Electric Wizard. And, you know, you got people saying Dope Throne. Then you got other people saying Come My Fanatics. I actually went with Come My Fanatics, and it was on a long road trip. You know, I had, I think, a 6.5-hour drive. You know, I don't partake in any substances when I drive. So but I had the night before, and it was in edible form. So I was feeling, you know, that little like, I just feel fantastic the next day, where you're not high, you're just high on life. So I was like, yeah, that was my plan. I'm going to listen to some doom metal. And I don't know what it was. Maybe it was the fucking scenery as I finally got off the highway. But I just plopped on Come My Fanatics and really enjoyed it. So it wasn't shortly thereafter that I owned that and Dope Throne on vinyl. And then, you know, started going deep into the, also, if you like them, check out them. And that's like been my last year. So, you know, if I look at my purchases for the last year, I got to think that like 80 to 85% of them all kind of fall in that. And then the rest, I think, is probably more hardcore than anything, which is a pleasant surprise, because I kind of took quite a few years off. But, you know, after stumbling upon Knocked Loose, after hearing the name and just stubbornly being like, I'm not going to check them out. I didn't know what they were. So like, crotchety for some reason. And then I check them out, I'm like, what the fuck, man? This is like exactly what I want to listen to when I hear hardcore. It's got all that fucking metallic hardcore vibe. So I was like, yeah, well, that's what you get for not fucking paying attention. So, you know, then I took that and I went through, hey, well, if you like Knock Loose, you should check out Judiciary. So I'm like, you're fucking damn right, I'm going to check out Judiciary. So that's just kind of how it all worked. So I've done a lot of the doom and stoner doom genre over the last year or so, but I've also had a little bit of a resurgence with hardcore. And actually part of that is due to, you know, kind of moving a little bit closer to where I was with that old group of friends, and we've been able to connect a little bit more. So I've had them over for, you know, fire pits a couple of times. We've gone out a couple of times before everything got locked down anyway. And, you know, we always have a great time. And of course we, you know, with fucking old guys reminiscing and telling stories, but we still, like, if we hear a new hardcore band, we share it with the other one. So he sent a couple of doozies my way. I think just the other day he sent me Hauser. Is it Hauser? Hauser? H-A-W-S-E-R. I don't know how the fuck to say it. I don't even care. It just sounded pretty fucking balls to the wall heavy. And, you know, I'd sent him Boundaries, and he's got it's fucking great. He's got a son that was about the same age that we were when we were fucking checking out all the shows. He listens to a lot of hardcore and stuff. So he's like, you know, turned his dad on to bands like Gulch and shit like that. So it's really, I mean, I don't know the kid very well. I did go to the hospital when he was born, 21 years ago. But I've probably only seen him a handful of times since then. But it is kind of cool. I think it's really cool for Chad that, you know, his son shares that taste. Hopefully mine will someday. But right now, I think he'd rather listen to, was it like Lil Pump or Lil Xanny X? Or, I mean, there's one guy that he listens to. He likes Post Malone, which I don't mind. I mean, I actually wouldn't say that I would sit and listen to his music, but I enjoy it when I hear it. It's certainly not my thing. I think a part of that has to do with what he just seems like. He's got a good personality. And then I also liked, all right, so the guy that kind of passed away, I feel bad that I can't remember his name. I think it was a drug overdose. He had kind of a similar style where it was kind of like rapping, singing. I can't remember, but I don't mind him as well, because I think he actually seems like he's being like truthful. He seems like he's like speaking about emotion and sadness and depression. And I'm not actually used to hearing that. And maybe it's just because I don't spend any time with the genre, but that's not what I'm accustomed to hearing when I let my son grab the digital aux cable, which is when we go song for song, man. He has to ask me, he's like, Dad, is this a 14-minute song? That's the doom metal genre for you. I do try to sneak one in when he's not paying attention. Every once in a while, I get up to about 6 minutes and he's like, Dad, how long is this song? I'm like, all right, you can switch it out. I usually ask him for one more riff and he'll give it to me if it's close. But so anyway, yeah, he just listens to some different stuff. I will say that, like, I do try, sometimes I just try to blast his ears out of the car just to annoy him, like he knows he's going to do to me. But other times, you know, I do play stuff that we do have in common. Like, I don't think he'll go and listen to Deftones or Tesseract on his own. But he does know them and he does like them and can actually sing along to them. So he certainly doesn't get all bent out of shape if I pick them. And then, you know, he does like all the 90s alternative stuff, because that's always like a safe bet for everybody. I find it fascinating that, you know, he knows all those songs, but I assume it's probably because I've played all those songs. His mother's played all those songs. But he, you know, he ends up, sometimes we just like, yeah, 90s alternative, and we go through that. But I do think he likes Alice in Chains, which is great because, I mean, I named him after the lead singer, for crying out loud. So, you know, he really enjoys Alice in Chains. So I've done something right there. But hey, you know, one of the things that I'm really happy about is I think he enjoys music to the same degree that I did at that age, where and he's got easier access to it, which is even better. You know, I always like, you know, I like to tell him about how difficult it was for me to find music, not from a source of like, oh, you should do that. It's just like, it was hard. You know what I mean? It's like, so I'm actually happy for him. And I almost want him to not like be like, oh, you know, Dad's, it sucked back then. I don't know. It was all I knew. So it was fun doing fucking mail order through distros and shit. But I would, you know, if I knew what I could have been doing, like if I had a fucking, a magic eight ball, will I ever be able to do this in the future easier? And it said yes, I probably would have held off on it. That analogy didn't make sense, but I am really starting to get pretty, and the tincture's really kicking in and getting messed up. But anyway, you know, you just fucking end up loving your music. And that's it. So you just fucking go. I'm going to end it. I'm going to wrap it up. I think I've spoken enough. You guys like it? You like hardcore? Stay with me.